Hello, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Guns and Yellow Ribbons. I'm Fergus. I'm your host, and tonight we're going to be talking about the Sheffield mauling of Sheffield United in Bramall Lane. I'm joined by Mike, Danish Gunnar, and Gunnar Hilsey. Enjoy the show.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Alex. How are you, mate? It's good to have you back on.
Thank you. Hopefully, I'm better than you are, because it looks like it was quite a messy night yesterday, even though Dunno was there. So I thought Trev was only going to have one beer, but by the looks of it, he's had a couple more than one.
It was 10 hours driving, 8 hours drinking, 4 hours sleeping. So oh. this voice is struggling. Mike, it feels like it was only 4 hours ago.
Yeah, it's best 4 hours of my life since I got out of that car. not because of the lack of being with you, but had me a nice little nap. And as I also had in your car, thank you for you were essentially driving Miss Daisy today with me being in the back seat all by myself. I had the chauffeur driving me in the BMW. It was great.
Used BMW, please.
Used BMW, which you sold to yourself.
absolutely.
Good to see you guys again.
Trev, you had the ever-suffering Mrs. Hill with you. She was really delighted with our company. She enjoyed having some intellect and some intelligence and some complimentary words spoken to her. Did she enjoy it?
Her exact words to me, not more than about 15 minutes ago when she managed to lift her head out of the sick bowl, is that she had an amazing night. She enjoyed all of our companies, but she's never doing it again. That was her exact words to me. Yeah. I did warn her. I do say to her, Donna, you know, these boys, they do drink at a pace and they drink quite a large amount of alcohol. So you don't have to keep up, but she, you know, she does it, doesn't she? She keeps up and then she paid the price today. So,
yeah. In fairness, an hour in, this was quite gentle, wasn't it?
Well, to consider that none of those were mine, though. None of those were mine. I don't drink cider, so that was
you the equivalent bottles of vodka. So that
I would never do such a thing. But no, those Magners were only for what, the two of you. So that's you have to have.
I think it's three of us on them. Yeah. Listen, my day.
Four of you include KN.
Yes, that's true. My day started by a visit to the old girl. I went and saw where you are right now, Mike. Will you sit still for Christ's sake? And this is my view from behind you at the moment. That's Highbury Stadium. Really nice to see the apartment. Nice to see that the way Highbury Apartments are North Bank. No, it's not even North Bank.
North Stand Apartments. Kills me that they call it.
Well, listen, whoever named it that also decorated the lifts. The lifts are in blue and white, which is just like sacrilege. Those lifts should not be in blue and white. They've got some great logos and everything else, and the Arsenal font used right around the ground is fantastic. Great to see everybody in the chat. Thank you for joining us. I'm not going to try and talk too much this time because I don't have much of a voice. But last night, we played Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, a ground I hadn't been to before, and a ground I wanted to go and see because I don't think they were back in the Premier League for some time by how they started. Trevor, we arrived in Sheffield and apparently it was a football match on.
Yeah, they made sure we knew that there was a football match on, which we were all hoping there was because we travelled all that distance. It's, in fairness, it's a nice modern city now, Sheffield, isn't it? I found it very welcoming, you know. I enjoyed the place, I enjoyed the company, but most of all, I enjoyed the football. Let me tell you, I enjoyed the football. It was one of those perfect away days, really. Great company, lots to drink, lots and lots to drink, and a fantastic result. That's why we do it. That's why, although I'm at an age where it takes me a day or two to recover from them, you know, I'm still going to do it because it's amazing. They're great days and great nights. And it was a pleasure to be there last night with everybody.
The final comment I'll say is that beside our hotel, Trevor got there and done a recce and he found a pub next door. And he was going to go to the pub next door. Shall remain nameless just for my own protection reasons. Trevor said to a couple of the people behind reception, should we try that pub? And one chap, he came along and said, oh, no, you come out there fighting. We saw the landlady this morning, Mike, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Who would have won?
She was a little rough around the edges, but so were we. So it probably would have been a stalemate, I think.
Yeah, it definitely would. Listen, Arsenal went into the last we went into our last three fixtures 10-1 on aggregate. It ends up 16-1 on aggregate against Sheffield United. And we could win three successful away games against the Blades, blunted Blades, I will add. If we were to succeed at this stadium, Sheffield had lost, have now lost five of the last six league matches. I think the only one they won was who did they beat? Was it Luton beat recently?
Yeah, Luton.
That's the only team they have beaten. They are in danger. They were in danger of becoming the first team to concede four or more games by five goals. We succeeded, we've done that. There's some other really strange facts about the game in the sense that Arsenal could have made history last night if they had scored six goals in the first half. It would have been the first team in the Premier League to score six goals in the first half. Let's look at the lineups. Alex, unchanged lineup on there. But the difference was for me that we had Raya, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Kivior, Rice, Jorginho, Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli and Havertz. For me, what was good to see was that bench, and that bench was Ramsdale, Cedric, Vieira, Partey, Smith-Rowe, Nelson, Trossard, Jesus and Nketiah. Really strong bench for once. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, for the last couple of games, we've had a lot of youngsters on the bench, but now some of our injured players like Partey and Jesus has been out as well. Vieira, they're all coming back now, and it's good to see them fit enough for the bench. And for the starting lineup, I think he was right to go for with the same 11 as against Newcastle, where, I mean, Jorginho in the midfield, he's been amazing for the last couple of games after we lost to Porto. Since he's come in, he's done brilliant, and I think he deserves to start against Porto at home as well. And then, yeah, Kivior's been brilliant as well, so it's not like we're missing Zinchenko right now. He's slotted in really nice, and the little switch he's done where Ben White is now the player who comes in to midfield a bit more, just frees up Kivior and allows him to be a defender, which he is, and he's slowly building now, and he's doing really well. And then Havertz up top, of course, he's gaining confidence and building momentum. Three goals in three games now. He's doing well.
Trevor, we mentioned Havertz, and we just mentioned as well, comparing the Porto game that we went away to a week, 10 days ago, and the growing pains that the our Champions League side had in comparison to the way that this team seems to be growing into a real proper title challenge. You know, I think we genuinely, there's three horses in the race, and I think if we get it right, we can win this race.
Oh, absolutely we can. If we keep playing to the levels we have done the last few games, there's no reason at all to believe why we shouldn't go on and be right up there and possibly win it. I was really pleased last night, Fergus. I was a bit driving over. I was thinking and hoping that he wouldn't put out a weakened side because it was only Sheffield United, you know, and he didn't let us down. He put his strongest side out, which was absolutely the right thing to do. And it paid off on the night, you know. Sheffield United, yeah, they've had a terrible season, you know, but they won a couple of weeks ago at Luton, which just got me thinking they are capable of a performance. So let's just go out there and really turn it on. And that's what we did. I can't, well, I say it nearly every week now, but it's a pleasure to say it. We didn't have a weakness in the team. There wasn't a weak link. Although, having said that, in fairness, and I'm sorry if there's any Sheffield United fans that do happen to listen to this, I said earlier in the season, Sheffield United were the worst Premier League team I'd ever seen come to the Emirates. And they did absolutely nothing at all last night to change that. I thought the manager got the tactics wrong, started with a back four. I don't know why he did that when you're up against a team that's scoring freely and you're bottom of the league. He changed it. As soon as he went 3-0 down, he changed it, took a young lad off and brought another centre-half on. So made it a back five. But by then, it was too late. So I think the manager made errors last night, and Sheffield United just from minute one just weren't in it. It was proper. You can really sum it up. It was boys v men. It really was boys v men. We were that good.
Mike, it wasn't minute one. It was minute five when our Norwegian Viking, not one of those Vikings, Alex. He put the ball in the Sheffield net, and half the fucking team did later. But that's another story.
We don't know half the team did, yeah.
Yeah. What did you make of that first half performance, if you look at it? Because we had Odegaard on 5 minutes. It was an own goal, which we saw from the far end. And we all thought, how did Saka get that? Because it came off.
He put it into danger from a position that you can really just not do anything about when you're defending. I mean, how are you supposed to keep that out of the goal unless you have five people on the goal already facing outwards, you know, ready to stop a shot coming in? But you've got people running back at pace to try to secure the goal, and the ball comes across like that, there's a 50% chance it's going to knock in off of somebody, whether it's going to be us or one of them. But, you know, at some point you have to no longer be allowed to keep the word United in your team name, because there was nothing United about the team, about the support, they weren't united on whether they were going to stay in the seats or whether they were just going to leave after 10 minutes. You really, at some point, you have to just become Sheffield. I think that's what happened to Sheffield Wednesday hundreds of years ago, is that they used to be united and they just weren't on a Wednesday. But
I think they were Sheffield Monday. They were
Sheffield Monday, and then yeah, that's not even available for this team anymore. So yeah, it's. They maybe Sheffield Sunday League would be more appropriate. They were as bad as they've been, and you know, at some point, a team in that position, you're either going to get them fighting for their lives, and they become a dangerous banana peel that you can slip on. Which I'm shocked at how many people thought that was going to be the case in this game. I was so confident about this yesterday. I was easily thought we'd stomp them 2-2, and.
That's terrible, Mike.
You know when I go 2-2, I'm actually quite confident. That's because that's me not wanting to screw it up by actually predicting a win. But I've learned from experience on that. But yeah, I mean, the nice thing is we didn't have to wait 20-25 minutes like we did against West Ham for the floodgates to open, or even against Newcastle. I think there was a bit of a kind of a feeling out process, but this was just from minute one to minute 90, absolute and complete total domination. And it's a pleasure to be in a football stadium with that little stress.
Alex, we said, Mike just said there, we didn't have to wait 25 minutes for Arsenal to open the scoring. By 25 minutes in, Havertz has put the fourth goal in the back of the net. Listen, a lot was said about some fans leaving after 5 or 10 minutes, and literally there was some of them leaving.
Yeah, they showed it on the telly.
The first goal going out. But my thoughts are more with the fans that remained throughout that game. For me, I've got an awful lot of admiration and sympathy for them, because that must have been a difficult watch to be schooled by Arsenal in 45 minutes, because we didn't really even try in the second 45.
Yeah, I hope they got free beers at halftime. But yeah, it must have been so frustrating. I can't even think. I mean, you think back to the times when Arsenal used to play games like that where there was no will and desire. And it's one of the most frustrating things as a fan to watch your team and not a single player shows any desire to fight for the badge and the club. So, yeah, poor Sheffield fans. I hope they got some free beers at halftime.
Very unlikely, known their owner, Trevor. This is a...
You don't look drunk at all, Trev.
not at all.
You don't look drunk.
It was. I just want to linger on the Sheffield United fans for a bit, because we had lots of fans kicking up a fuss, didn't we, when we had a bad period, but we were nowhere near as bad as what Sheffield United are at the moment, and their fans. They were there in numbers last night. It was nearly a full house at the start. By 20 minutes, it was only half full. But, you know, I've always said that, you know, let the fans can make their own minds up. You know, I'm not going to call them out for leaving early. They've been watching that every week all season. So I have every sympathy with them. I do. Every sympathy with them.
Yeah, it must be really, really difficult. Their owner doesn't really want anything to do with the club. You know, they didn't even put the attendance figures up, Mike, in the game, because I think that would have probably been embarrassing.
They should have had a ticker as it went down. They should have, like, live attendance. Just have the seats all, like, monitored up, and if there's not an ass in the seat, then it just goes down, and eventually it's, like, current attendance, 170. It would be like one of those Cowdenbeath fourth division Scottish League attendances by the end of the game.
It would be. One of the goals I missed was the Declan Rice goal. Did you get to see that one?
How did you miss it? No, it was beautiful. I mean, just it's another what was it? Saka cutting it back, right onto Declan's foot. Purely struck, put his foot through it, went to the corner to celebrate. I mean, it was almost like he felt bad celebrating this one as well, but not for the same reason. It was just like, you know, he didn't want to rub it in with poor sportsmanship, but you know, you could tell this was just amazing. But I know you'll probably go here, but man of the match last night was Odegaard, but special mention to Kai Havertz. There are so many things, and I've struggled to really be able to define the things that other people have said that know much more about football than I do about his play off the ball and how, you know, how he's contributing. But you're now seeing a bit of swashbuckling confidence out of him. His finish in this game was way different than the two goals he scored in the two games prior. One of those goals was that he scored was a, you know, a, you couldn't miss it because of his good positioning one, you know, against Newcastle. The other bit of a lucky nutmeg, in my opinion, to actually be able to do that. Once he had that nutmeg, he was not going to miss from there. But this one was not an easy finish for the, what was it, our third goal? Not an easy finish.
Fourth goal. Yeah, Martinelli was the third.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I spoke to a friend of mine who knows quite a lot about football. You know the friend I'm talking about.
Kevin?
Yes.
Mr. Possibly. And he was...
Only came up 197 times last night in conversation.
He was complimenting... I only put that in because I knew it was an own goal for me, okay? But he was complimenting Havertz and how well Arteta has got the best out of him, Trevor. Havertz, you've commented on a few times. We haven't got in heavy on him. We were, I think, respectful, criticised at times, but we were respectful about him and said, just give him a little bit of time. But Arteta is getting just absolutely everything out of this guy, isn't he?
Oh, look, right. You can just see his confidence growing. Obviously, winning games by a country mile week after week, it does everything to help your confidence. But you can see Havertz, I think he's learning to play with his Arsenal teammates. He's now getting right up there. I still don't think he's the finished article. Because you can see from the positions he takes up on the field and the moves he makes that there's more to come from him. And I'm excited by Kai Havertz and what he's doing already at the Arsenal. The goal he scored last night, and indeed the Ben White one, and the Odegaard one, it's becoming a bit of a trademark, isn't it? The Arsenal goal, you know. the pull back from the byline for someone to whack it in the net. It's great to watch. And the reason we scored some of them goals last night, at least one, is that Saka is back to his best, you know. And he took off at halftime feeling sick. But we have to bear in mind the standard of the opposition when we say these things. But Saka last night was sublime at getting past people. Absolutely sublime at moving into space with the ball. I think that I'm being put off here by Dan having his word about our good mate Kevin Nolan. Well, I don't know. Do you know him, folks?
Apparently so.
We're not the lucky ones. This guy is connected to AF, guys. By the way, Havertz's touch,
just explain the in joke. The aforementioned Mr. Nolan drinks in my local pub, and he was in there on Sunday, and I was chatting to him, and I was telling the guys in the car about a couple of stories. Hang on. And then Dan got in the car, and I repeated the stories. And then as other people are coming in, the story, and in the end, Mr. Feinberg goes, Christ, I've not heard that 100 times.
We were still on Blackstock Road with the first time he brings up Kevin Nolan talking to him. I'm like, oh, is he talking about Kevin Nolan, the footballer? I guess he is. And I don't ask because I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to give Fergus what he wants, which is, how do you know Kevin Nolan? I knew that's where that was going because I've done the same thing myself. And, you know, so a couple Kevin Nolan references on the way to pick up Dan. And then it goes again with the Kevin Nolan. And finally, we get to the hotel in Sheffield, and there's a few more people joining us. And the Nolaning continues, which is it's a new verb called Nolaning. And finally, I just look at Dan. I'm like, did you know he knows Kevin
Nolan? No. The one was Dan totally done me. So it went all really quiet, and we're sitting in the bar, and Dan goes to ask me a question, and he looks really serious. So I know all the chatter's gone around. I'm going, no, hang on, I'll make eye contact with Dan to bring him into the conversation. I go, oh, this, and he goes, Fergus, you know Kevin Nolan?
I pissed my pants at that moment because I was like, this is going to be the whole evening now. And it was.
And the next day.
You were a good sport.
Alex, Trev mentioned already, Saka came off at halftime. There was multiple substitutions in the second half. Benny White scored on the 58th minute, which is a 10,000th goal, I think Premier League goal for Arsenal. All-time goal.
It was 150,000 of Premier League goals, or I don't know, 1,500th
goal. I saw it was a 10,000. It's an Irishman trying to say 10,000.
10,000.
That's it. Thank you. 10,000.
Will you stop telling me to make my mate now?
The more I try, the worse it gets.
What are you talking shit about?
It was good to see the substitutions come on. A little bit worrying when we didn't see Saka come on. From my view in the stands, I thought, well, he's rotating and resting. Then I later heard there was rumours about he was in a boot, or he didn't have his boots on, and there was rumours he was ill and so on. What do you know more on the Saka situation, if anything, and what did you make of that second half performance? Because it was pretty boring from the stands. We were just having a laugh and singing and taking.
Yeah, first of all, Arteta said after the game that Saka just felt ill, so that's why I took him off at half-time, so he should be good to go for Brentford. And yeah, I think with all the substitutions, it took a bit of the temper out of the game. But I mean, it was a good opportunity to give players like Vieira some game time. He came in and played for the first time in a long time and had a pretty good second half. And then, of course, the goal for 6-0, we have to talk about that because that was probably the best goal of the night yesterday. Jorginho with one of his beautiful lofted passes over the defence, and then Havertz controls it, cuts back, and then Ben White on his left foot. Yeah, just a sweet strike from him. I didn't know that he had that in his locker. So, yeah, he's just a brilliant player, Ben White, and good to see him score as well.
Thomas Partey, yeah, getting a run out.
Yeah, I think it was clear to see that he hasn't been playing for a very long time. I think he had a bit of a sloppy cameo. He gave the ball away quite a few times. But I mean, it's going to be good to have him back. Jesus as well. He didn't look as sharp as usually is. He had a few opportunities to get the ball away from his feet, but he just took a bit too long on the ball. But I mean, all those players, we need them for the running. They're players that can make a difference, especially Jesus. And I think with the amount of trust Arteta shows in Vieira, I think he's got something special about him. We just haven't seen it yet. And hopefully we'll get to see it through this last part of the season. But yeah, I mean, it's starting to become difficult who he's going to choose on the bench, because I mean, looking at the bench yesterday and then knowing we've got Tommy and Zinchenko as well, I don't know who he's going to drop from the bench.
Trev, seeing Partey in an Arsenal shirt is not a thing I thought I'd see again. As Alex rightly said, he did look as fit as me and you in an Arsenal shirt. But it's important having these players, because a fit and match-ready Thomas Partey is a big asset to us. And look, at this game is type of done. But, you know, we're talking about 11 more games till the end of the season, and we've got some big games. We're going to have some congestion in there as well.
Yeah, we are. Look, right, it's a strange situation at the moment, because we lost two of our better players, Partey and Zinchenko, to injury, and we've actually played really well without them. I think it's given Havertz time, as we just spoke about, to grow into his role. And, you know, and Jorginho has just bossed games, you know. I mean, obviously he's going to have time last night. It wasn't the highest quality opposition. But looking over the last few games when Jorginho has had game time, he's really been superb. And this might sound a bit harsh, but take it in the context, I mean it. And I mean it in the context of us challenging for titles and being able to call on players. We haven't needed Partey, and we haven't needed Jesus, and we haven't needed Zinchenko over the last few weeks, right? We haven't needed them. And if they were all fit tomorrow, I wouldn't bring them back into the team straight away, because I think what we've got is a great formula, a winning formula. And I don't want that to sound harsh. I'm not having a go at them players, but that's just the situation as it is, you know. If we keep everybody fit, we're in a really good place. But we can get by without some of them big names as well, as we've proven. It's a great place to be.
The luxury to be about them coming back.
We're going to have Yuri and Timber back hopefully soon as well by the end of the season.
It's absolutely insane what we have coming back, the quality of players that we have. And you know, the one thing you can say about, you know, Gabby Jesus not getting back into the squad is we've had kind of this a couple games where our bench had been very, very poor, where we started both of our earlier in the year super subs. Well, I wouldn't say Havertz has been a super sub, but he can be. We've started Havertz, we've started Trossard. We haven't been able to have that impact player because Nelson really didn't cut it coming off the bench. So what that, you know, if Gabby Jesus comes back, reclaims his spot in the nine for at least one out of the two games that we're pretty much going to be playing every week for a while, that gives us more options to come off the bench in the 65th minute in a game against better opposition that's tight and just absolutely stretches. I mean, we've seen when Martinelli comes on or when he comes off and Trossard comes on and the right back just throws their hand up in the air and said, how am I supposed to contend with, you know, with this kind of player coming on with fresh legs? So that's the one thing that, even though these guys don't necessarily automatically win their spots back, it's going to be amazing having those options, whether they're the ones coming off the bench or whether they force other guys like Trossard, who I think is just a perfect super sub. Trossard. I don't mind when he starts, but if he's able to be, and if Vieira is able to be a bench option, and if we're to the point where we have so much depth that we're not even able to see ESR getting games with five subs, I mean, that could only be a good thing overall for the club.
Trevor,
just before you move on, mate, look at this point from Henty, right? I'm sorry to butt in, folks. It's a really important point, interesting point, because we have undoubtedly benefited from not playing so many games. We've undoubtedly benefited from the break we had when we got away to Dubai. I watched the game back today, Ferg, in between nursing, trying to nurse Donna back to health. I watched the whole game today, and I also watched the interviews after, because they had Thierry Henry on as the guest, and I love listening to him talk, you know. But they were saying about the break and how we were a different side when we came back from that break, weren't we? We were a completely different team. It was incomparable to what we were before. And we've got another break coming up now. You know, we're going to have, is it 10 days we've got? Alex will know. Well, he knows all them
things. It's 19 days all in all, I think.
But
the players will be playing. A lot of the players will actually be playing football, unlike the break in Dubai. I
mean, that's
international break.
Yeah, but we are going to have a full squad. Hopefully, they've got to stay fit for another 11 games. We keep the squad fit for another 11 games. We've got options all over the park, and we're in a good place. I don't think we've changed what we're doing at the moment. I think anyone coming back from injury sits on a bench. Absolutely sits on a bench. I tell you, I don't know if any of you boys, if I've just missed it, or if any of you boys have heard anything. It's all been very quiet on the Zinchenko front, hasn't it? I've not heard much about him at all. I don't know what's going on there.
Same with Tommy as well. Haven't really heard too much about his injury after he went away with Japan.
Yeah.
The Tommy one puzzles me. I think Zinchenko has just been kept on the lowdown. There was that little fracas, was it at Forest away, between Ben White and him, and Arteta had words and the media made a big thing about it. Maybe he's just been put on the naughty step for a little while, as well as having an injury. Trevor, I want to correct you on the 11 games, 17 games. That's getting through the title and getting all the way to Wembley with the Champions League. So 17 games.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, well, that's a given. That's a given, mate. I've already booked that week off work before and after the Champions League final. Because if my missus is listening, if you think I'm in a mess today, you wait till after we win that Champions League. I may never surface again. And you know what? I don't care.
mate, I tell you, you need some ballast to surface that what you've got at the minute. Never mind if we win the Champions League.
No, I'm whacking it on. Drinking 15 pints of Magners doesn't help. You know what I mean? It's not the way to go, is it? We said last night that we
on the drain. Trevor's drinking again.
We said last night, I think Magic Mike down there is looking amazing, lost all the weight, but I think he posted it to my house and I've put it all on, you know?
and anything you didn't collect, I've picked up as well. Trevor, Mike mentioned that Odegaard was his man of the match. Who was your man of the match last night?
Well, do you know what? It's funny, Fergus, because last night I said that I thought White had another really good game. But I've watched it, having watched the game back today, that the two standouts for me were, as everyone's saying, Odegaard is just getting better and better and better. But Declan Rice last night, you know, it's becoming a bit boring now, isn't it? Declan Rice. But when I watched it back, he played a lot further forward last night than he has done. Now, I know that's probably a reflection of the standard of the opposition. It's probably a reflection that we've got a lot more trust in Jorginho playing behind him. But Declan Rice played a much more forward role when he was making some really good runs into the box as well. So for me, I think that Rice just nicked it last night, having watched it back, Fergus.
Yeah, I thought Rice just made everything tick, and I thought he made Odegaard look even better. I think he makes Havertz. I think Rice just makes us look nice. Alex, who was your man of the match?
Yes, it's a difficult one as half the team scored. But I think for me, since he hasn't gotten too many man of the matches, I think for me it was Havertz. Mm. I think the goal he scored was brilliant and a testament to how much confidence he's gained over the last couple of months. He definitely wouldn't have finished that one last year. And then his assist as well was brilliant to cut it back to Ben White, the way he took it down. I think in the beginning, a lot of fans were like, he's lanky, his attitude stinks. But I think now people have realised just how much he works his socks off in games. And I really love his attitude and the amount of duels he wins in a game as well.
I didn't hear much about his attitude. I thought he came across a bit shy and reserved more than.
I think that's what you mean, right? Like that he's just kind of languid and that attitude.
Yeah, a bit lazy. I think a lot of people said he looked a bit lazy the way he moved about on the pitch with his long limbs. But yeah, I think the way he's played the last couple of games, he's just been brilliant. And he had a good, I think Saka potentially could have been man of the match if he stayed on the pitch, because he was having a really, really good game. They had quite a few difficulties keeping him quiet on their left-hand side.
Yeah, Saka was unfortunate. He scored in the last five Premier League games he's played, including twice in each of the last two home and away games. So it would have been nice for him to get on the score sheet. He had an assist, but not on the score sheet.
Yeah, so. I think he had, I don't know if it's been counted as an assist, but he potentially had two assists, because the one was the cross where it was an own goal, and then the cutback to Declan Rice as well.
Can you get an assist on an own goal?
I don't think you can, but you should.
In fantasy Premier League, you can.
listen, our good friend Sophie Nicolau on the Highbury squad after the game done a phone in, and we jumped on to while we're in the cab. Well, beforehand, we had gone out of the ground and we'd gone and we had more drinks. This is us in the ground.
There she is, my beauty. Let me tell you something, boys. She ain't smiling like that right at this moment.
I got to tell you, this was the first time I had met her, your lovely wife. And
ever she, suffering.
She's like, you know, she said, oh, I feel like I've known you already. I didn't realize we hadn't actually met. And it's weird how this, you know, this podcast community ends up being like that. But I don't know how you did it. I really don't know how you've done it. She is so lovely, youthful, people used to say this about me all the time.
Youthful. Like,
how have you managed that? And I'm not calling her that. I mean, how have you managed that situation?
Oh dear, dig.
It was very easy, Mike. It was very, very easy.
Is that what you've done?
About 12 years ago, she chatted me up in a pub. I had to do nothing, mate. She approached me, and ever since that first night, we've hardly been apart, and. I think she's an amazing woman, even when she's poorly like today and been talking to the big white telephone most of the day, you know. She must
like your languid style then.
She's an amazing woman, my wife, and I love her dearly. I'm going to be nice now because she deserves me to be nice to her, because she puts up with me, you know, and you all know what I'm like. I ain't got a bad bone in my body, but I'm a massive pain in the ass, you know.
That's a good way to describe it.
I have 100% sympathy with her, because when you're not with her, you're generally with me in my house. So I feel her pain. But anyway, before we go on, Sophie put up this YouTube, and we decided from the Uber from that pub back to the hotel.
We were going
straight to bed, by the way. There was nobody having drinks in the hotel bar. Everyone's going to be sensible. Didn't happen. This happened.
Stay with me, because I'm going to need some wingmen here. We're gonna bring them in, kids. Let's see how this goes.
That's the best when she realizes that we're doing it.
There goes my algorithm.
It was that line. That, there goes my algorithm.
That F bomb was a good. Was going to be dropped. You could see her whole mannerisms change. But no, that was
Sophie.
That clip is actually 5 minutes long. That was hilarious. Thank you for having us on in that state. She was very, very nervous about doing that, but
overrating.
Fergus is banging on the side of the car. Like, when do you do that in an Uber?
Yeah, I was using the side of the car as a drum. All the 31 goals that we've scored and the three we've only conceded since the start of the year could be undone if we don't repeat this again on Saturday evening, 5:30. We got Brentford. Trevor, did you realise that as good as he has been, and we've all grown to accept Arteta's decision, David Raya will not be in goal on Saturday night, and it will be Aaron Ramsdale. I've got no doubts in Ramsdale a bit. Ramsdale's ability, but I do worry about the sort of pressure, and when he's appeared in some of the cup games, I think this whole pressure cooker of a topic did seem to get to him a little. It got to Raya as well.
Do you know what, Fergus? None of the Arsenal fans have been talking about Raya not being able to play this Saturday, have they? Because it raised his head today. And I don't think anybody's really worried. I'm not really worried. Ramsdale by nature, he appears to be a very highly strung person, doesn't he? He can't stand still for a second. He bounces about. And he's going to be nervous when he comes on a Saturday. But I have every faith in Aaron Ramsdale's ability. I still feel sorry for him. I see what's happened. I understand what's happened. I've got no problem with what's happened, but that doesn't mean you can't feel sorry for Aaron Ramsdale, because he's a damn fine goalkeeper, you know. So saw his dad there again last night. His dad, even though Aaron isn't getting a game, his dad is still attending matches home and away. A proud dad. And I've no worries at all about Aaron Ramsdale. Not one. He'll be fine.
He said hello. I don't know if you actually bumped into him, but he said say hello to you as well when I saw him as well. Nice man. I respect him a lot, whether he's an Arsenal fan or not.
He was sitting with last night.
Yeah, move on.
I don't know what Kevin Nolan was doing at the game, but he was hanging out
with him. I was just thinking the same thing.
Oh, my Lord.
Alex, I'm going to ignore our soccer ball fan here. And do we change the lineup much? You know, we have got Jesus back and we've got Partey back in the lineup. You've got, you know, Cedric. We were living in a Cedric wonderland.
Cedric Suarez.
Was I dreaming when I heard Cedric chants last night in the stands?
To be honest, I stopped in the end because it felt almost a little bit disrespectful.
Yeah. I mean, fair play. He stayed professional, Cedric, and done his job when he's come on the pitch. But back to your question, I don't think I'd change anything apart from Ramsdale coming in. I think the fact that it's a home game takes a bit of the pressure off him. Compared to when we visited Brentford last year, I think they did well to build up the pressure through the fans. They were quite vocal, and it was clear they talked about it as well. So I think the fact that it's going to be a home game and we're all going to be behind him hopefully helps him. And as we all know, he's a brilliant keeper. But otherwise, I wouldn't really change anything. I mean, of course, we've got the Porto game Tuesday, so he might want to rest some of the players or take them off quite early in the game if the match allows it. But I mean, the Premier League's as important as the Champions League, so we can't really afford to downgrade anywhere. I'd just start the same players who'd gotten us this far over the last couple of games and done really well.
I just read that comment you put up there, Trevor, about Henty said that Jesus was complaining of a sore knee again. That guy's soon for the knackers yard at this rate, isn't he? He did have injury problems at Man City, couldn't keep fit and get a run of games. And whilst he had a little bit of out time last year, he had a decent run. But this season, he's really struggling, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's not looking on top of his form at all, Fergus. He wasn't before he got injured, if I'm honest. He's got the biggest heart I've ever seen in a football player, Jesus. He runs his socks off. But there's more to football than that nowadays. It's a very complicated game sometimes. And I think if you dropped Havertz and put Jesus in, it'd be, firstly off, in my opinion, is it would very much be the wrong thing to do. And secondly, it would lower the standard of our football. We've got a big 6'4" fella playing. All right, he plays like a deep forward role, doesn't he, Havertz? He wanders about a bit. But when it comes to the push comes to shove, he's right up there, Havertz, and he makes puts a completely perspective on the game of football that we play, yeah? And I like what he's doing, and I like the fact that he's getting better at doing that. And so if Havertz is improving and getting better at doing what he does, that means the Arsenal are improving as a team still. And that's what we want to see, and that's what we need to do, mate. So I worry about Jesus. He didn't look on it last night at all. Full of effort, and you could see he was kicking himself at times because he wasn't getting or doing what he wanted to do.
But do you remember when we saw him at Forest and the way his close up play, okay, he couldn't get the balls off, and in fact, he did get that goal, but he was trying, and he didn't look as sharp last night as he did that at Forest, did he?
No, not in the slightest. But let's be fair, he's been out and he's just come back, and he's come on in a game that we're already winning by a country mile. And honestly, last night was the first time I've ever been winning 6-0 and got bored. By the end of the game, I was bored because we hadn't scored for 20 minutes. You know, and I'm thinking, right, get it over with now. Let's get back on the beer. It was that easy. So that wouldn't have helped him. But, he doesn't seem right to me, Jesus. He just doesn't seem right.
Mm. Mike, what's your expectations for this Brentford game? You're still in town. Vodka will still be on free flow. And you don't have far to stagger.
No, I don't. It's a nice trip after the game. But no, it's, you know, as many people were a little bit nervous about last night being a Monday night, being a game that everyone thought that we should handle quite easily and ultimately did. I do feel a little bit that way about this Saturday's game. Brentford is kind of Jekyll and Hyde. We've seen them be absolutely awful against West Ham recently, but you know that they've got the ability to punish you if they get much of the ball. We need to be more aware and careful with what they're doing than we have with some of these teams that we've played over the last few weeks. And, you know, it just worries me with that Champions League game 4 days later, 3 days later, whatever it is, that mentality may not be the killer mentality that we've been able to have with one game a week that we had against Sheffield, that we had against Newcastle. So I'm a little bit worried about this one. I think we'll start the same exact squad again. I think, you know, again, because we're going to have,
with the exception of Ramsdale.
Yeah. With the exception of the goalie, of course. And depending on whether Saka's feeling better or not, whether Martinelli's cut his heel or not. But I think if everyone's available that was available in the starting 11, you'll see the exact same starting 11. And I'm in favor of that. But you know, we do have to turn this into a game where we can probably split some minutes around a little earlier, which we won't be able to do if it's a tight, you know, a level game or a one goal game into the 60 or 70th minute. You're not going to be able to give those minutes of players' legs that we really need to, so that they can play on Tuesday.
Alex, Ivan, Tony, and I can't remember what the other chap's name is, but they've got a few rapid forward attacking players. If they sit deep like West Ham did against us at the Emirates, can they catch us on the break? Yeah, we said Tony Mwembo. Yeah, I can't even pronounce that.
Yeah, don't even try to do it, folks.
not after 4 hours sleep.
Let's just leave it at they've got some fast players.
Yeah, thank you.
I think we all know how they like to play, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we're not playing against 12 men like we did last season at home to Brentford, where
we have got Paul Tierney in VAR.
We have, as a punishment.
So we're playing against 13 men then.
Yeah. So hopefully that's not going to be the case. But I mean, we should be too good for Brentford, especially at home. They have got some good players, and we know Ivan Toney can score goals. But, I mean, we should be too good for them, especially with the form they're in. They haven't performed too good lately. I know they drew against Chelsea recently, but I mean, we should just be too good, and hopefully we can get to a comfortable score by 60-odd minutes and take some of our key players off and get them ready for Porto. But yeah, I mean, they're going to be sitting deep, low block, five at the back. But I mean, we've done so well breaking down these low block teams recently. So I just can't see why we shouldn't be able to do the same thing against Brentford.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you for a prediction because we'll do a preview show on Thursday, which we'll go into this in a little bit more detail and we'll go on predictions.
Can I give you my prediction? Guess what my prediction is going to be.
Well, I don't need to guess. I've already written yours down, Mike. Oh, no.
My prediction is that Fergus will talk about Kevin Nolan 87 times before.
Boys, I've got a really good friend, Hensy, has stuck a question on me here, and I've got to answer it, right? Yeah, my missus is from the North, Hensy. She comes from a manic, and I mean manic, Manchester United family. They are all Manchester United crazy. But do you know what? My girl's a gooner. She's a proper gooner. Don't you worry about that, mate. She's a gooner. She loves the Arsenal. Sorry.
What a great guy Hente is, by the way. There's so much information about old-time Arsenal stuff that he puts on social media. Love the guy. Real
top guy. Go follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, follow him on Twitter. It's worth the follow for sure.
You got Hente and you got Andy and you got Mark, which are all great historians and good supporters of the show as well. So, yeah, no, we really appreciate them. Guys, it's nearly time to call it a night because I know Alex is very keen on seeing Harry Kane possibly getting knocked out of the Champions League. But
fingers crossed.
In a week's time, you'll be over here with your sister. It's Mike's birthday in a week's time as well. And it's the Arsenal in the second leg of the round 16 in the Champions League. Just briefly, I'll go with you first, Alex, then briefly, Mike, and then Trev.
Is that possible?
No, I don't think it is. What are your expectations in this game? You know, European football is so different to Premier League football. The European refereeing, the falling over, and what we saw a couple of weeks ago is just so much different.
Yeah, I think myself included was a bit overconfident when we went to Porto the last time. And yeah, we just got a bit of a wake-up call with how ruthless they play and how well they master the dark arts of the football. And yeah, it was a bit gutting to lose in the final seconds of the game, but I have no doubt that we'll be able to come back, and especially at home at Emirates under the lights with so many, with 6,000 fans behind the team, and with how free scoring we are at the minute. If we get an early goal, I think that's going to be key because, I mean, the further we get into the game, we know how they're going to be, you know, wasting time and so on. Just get an early goal and we'll get past them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, you know, we talked about this last night. I've never been more confident in a down situation where we're actually, you know, losing at halftime of the two-legged tie as I am right now. And it's just it's because I've looked back at what we've done this season when we've lost games. We have in every opportunity that we've had to avenge a loss, we've done it. And we've done it in style.
Like we did it against Newcastle. Yeah,
Newcastle, West Ham. You know, we haven't yet had the chance against Villa, and we won't have the chance against Fulham. But and Lons, we did. I mean, we've turned these teams over, and I think, like you said, Tuesday night, absolutely wild crowd, first knockout game in the Champions League for however many years. It's going to be just a cauldron, and Porto's not going to be able to play the type of game that they wanted to play and that they were able to play in their place. I have confidence about it. I have so much confidence about it, in fact, that I'm worried about Brentford as a result, because we haven't had a lot of situations where we've had to take care of business in a not very easy game before the big game. And if you start getting caught looking ahead to Tuesday to get that mentality right for a revenge game, you can slip up on the Saturday. So that's where I'm a little worried about it. But I think we're going to be fine on Tuesday night.
Okay. Well, boys, do you know what? I wish I shared your confidence. I really do. I think that Porto are unlike any team we've played this season. You don't play teams of their quality, more importantly, their experience, right? Very often at this stage of the competition. And they're going to come to the Emirates and they're not going to try and score a goal. They're not going to want to play football. They're going to defend what they've got. And the reason that confirms that in my mind is the fact that when they scored the winner, it was like it's broken. They'd won the competition, weren't it, at Porto? It was actually like they'd won the competition. So I do worry a little bit about it. I think we're going to be all right, but I'm not anywhere near as confident as the rest of these lads. Not at all. Not at all. They're a good side. They're a good side at doing what they do.
I'm glad you clarified that. I was quite confident going into the game in Porto. I'm less confident. I think we'll do it, but I don't think they're going to make it easy for us. I think because they've got that 1-0 advantage, they will try every trick in the book. I just hope we have got a referee that knows how to manage the game correctly. And we also will have the advantage of us being the 12th man, that we can try and make a bit more noise and try and influence the referee in some shape or form.
It's going to be a different game because we didn't have a shot on target in Porto. I think it's going to be a very different game at home.
That stat I don't like being chucked around because we had 10 corners. And 10 corners are goal-scoring opportunities that that have been defended against correctly. And then but they stood on each other's feet and fell over and the referee gave them stuff. So the dark arts, as you said. Alex, thanks very much for joining us. I'm glad you're back on. I'm glad you got your uni stuff sorted. Remember me when you're a millionaire sports journalist and stuff like that.
I think I should do something else if I wanted to be a millionaire.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Mike, it feels like I've been with you forever.
I'm mindful of the time. Can I make a quick comment, though? 1 minute, tops. We met up briefly for a drink before the West Ham game a few weeks back, and you spoke about how you guys were going to be going to Sheffield, spending the night in Sheffield. I was on the fence about whether I was going to come back into town before or after the Sheffield game and make the trip. You've offered me a place in your car. I decided to come back for the game, was able to get a ticket. I just imagine 5 years ago, would I have ever thought that I'd be coming over here linking up with some unbelievable people. I mean, Kevin, aka Demsec in the chat, comes up and joins us, who I only met through another podcast, through Highbury Squad, and now is a great, great friend of mine. Trev, Daniel, Kieran, Lyle. I mean, just the packet of friends and lovely people that we spent the evening with last night is just such a massive positive in my life. And it's just hard to imagine that it's all just because of this football club that during those 5 years has been pretty damn poor most of the time. Yet the family and the community is just, it's unbelievable. If you can find a way of getting to an away game or just meeting up with these guys, this is what support is all about. Their names are next to the dictionary for the word support and friendship and the Arsenal way. And I just wanted to say it's an absolute pleasure and honor to have spent the last 24 hours with you guys. So, and 6-0 doesn't help, doesn't hurt.
Do you know what, Mike? Thanks for those kind words. But I think I told you off very gently last week when we were talking, did I? Maybe at Burnley when you said, I'm going to tag along to Sheffield. I hope you don't mind. And I told you off because I said, you don't have to ask. An Arsenal fan is always welcome to join us. You know, we're one big family. And I was hoping that Fergus would give me a minute at the end here because I'm not going to go into – everybody knows some of the things that happened outside the ground at the ladies' game at the weekend, and I'm not going to give them airtime. I'm not going to say anything. But what I am going to say to you is, right, and I don't, maybe don't speak for every Arsenal fan, but I know I speak for the majority. Everybody is welcome at the Emirates Stadium, right? Everybody's welcome at the Emirates Stadium. It's a place where you go and everything goes out the window apart from football and supporting our great club. And that's what makes us one big happy family. And we must ensure that we keep on. Don't allow anyone to stop that being one big happy family, right? Because we've all got our views, we've all got our thoughts, we've all got our whatever, but they don't come to the Emirates with us, you know? They don't come to the Emirates with us. We go to the Emirates as Arsenal fans, 60-odd thousand Arsenal fans.
Needs and to be a safe place for us to be. Yeah, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that. There's a lot of feelings going on right now, and the one thing that counters anything is that the Emirates Stadium needs to be a safe place to be without having to feel as though you're unsafe. Let's just leave it that. But thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. You're not unsafe while you're with us.
I like our version last night on the Highbury Squad better, though. who did
that? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you literally had finished, and I didn't get the last words in. Yeah, look, we're good, a family, and that's what it's about. You know, for me personally, the only thing I'll add to it is I don't think politics, anything should get involved in sport. I think sport is about bringing people together, not dividing people. I'll leave it there. I'll drop the mic. I'll do whatever you want to do. But I've really enjoyed the last 24 hours with you guys. Alex, I'm looking forward to seeing you next week when you come
back. Likewise. And,
we'll change the bedding after Trevor's been in. So, you know.
Well, thank God.
Yeah, because I do tend to leak a bit at my age.
Yeah.
We don't know which hole, but yeah, on that note, Trev, I'll see you Saturday, mate.
It's been a pleasure, boys. A pleasure. Good night, boys.
Nolan.com.
Off the arsehole. Fuck the Spurs.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.
I've stayed on at the end just because Lyndon has put a comment up there about seeing us in the Woodbine on Saturday. We won't be in the Woodbine, unfortunately. The egg-shaped balls, and there's a lot of games on, and the Irish are going to beat the English. Hey, that's on. So we're not going to be there. We don't know what venue we're going to be in, Lyndon, but we'll see you Block 5. Thanks a lot, everyone. Up the Arsenal. Fuck the Spurs.